the pen of master storyteller Archie Jeffries comes Gush! A book so sensational that it can be found in every spare bedroom in the Western world. Once in a generation, there comes a novel that can change your life. In the meantime, here's Gush, now adapted for radio, with special guest star Helena Bonham Carter as the Foreign Secretary. This episode of Gush is sponsored by Classified Advertiser, the weekly magazine with the widest range of classified advertisements in the country.
BBC News. Today's headlines. War in the Middle East. Ground troops are ready to invade Araby as Prince Saudi ignores the ultimatum to turn the oil back on. And
doesn't sound too good, Prime Minister.
No, Cravat, it doesn't. You've made a complete mess of this. Can you offer any explanation?
Of course, Prime Minister. What I've done is offended Prince Saudi, started a war, and turned up here with only half of the compromising photograph of Prince Saudi and Lady Arabella Derbyshire that could end the crisis.
I know that, but why?
Simple. Because I let Pomeroy get away with the other half of the photo, allowing him to blackmail us before we can blackmail Saudi.
And I suppose you expect me to stand by you?
Well, I have behaved very badly, so I'm sure you will.
Ah, Foreign Secretary, come in. Gosh, you look absolutely stunning.
Oh, yes, really photogenic. It's a terrific costume.
No, don't say a word. It'll spoil everything. Just go and play the piano in the background.
I'll take your parasol.
Pomeroy's given us his terms. One, he wants $85 billion paid into his local building society's Super Saver account.
What?
Two, he wants your resignation.
Good grief!
And three, he wants Cravat Hall, your ancestral home.
The damn cheek! Oh, sorry, Foreign Secretary, I forgot there were ladies present. Please don't faint. It's just that even by Pomeroy's standards of pushy Yankee ruthlessness, this is extremely pushy, ruthless, and indeed Yankee.
It couldn't be clearer, Cravat. He's demanding that I throw you to the wolves.
And since when did the British Prime Minister take orders from cocky upstart Americans?
Since April the 6th, 1917, the day America entered the First World War. And pretty consistently from then on.
Fair enough. I'll go and clear my desk. And then my house. Goodbye, Prime Minister. No, please, don't get up, Foreign Secretary. And so it was as a defeated man that I returned to Cravat Hall and its Norman keep, Tudor ramparts, Baroque towers, and National Trust gift shop. The ancient stones appeared to me like old friends, steeped in the memories of bygone Cravats. Built in 1067 by Guillaume de Cravat and occupied continuously by Cravats through war and peace, revolution and plague, until this fateful day.
Still calming yourself, then, Master Cravat?
Why, it's my old faithful retainer. What's his name? How goes it, what's his name?
Very well, sir. I'd just be feeding the zebras and elephants before I open up the postman patroid and inflate the bouncy castle.
Very good, what's his name? Carry on.
It's young Master Foxwells.
Nanny. Nanny Thingamy.
We haven't seen you since you went off to London to make your name in the world.
I'm afraid I made a bit of a hash of it, Nanny.
So I read in The Economist. But as I always used to say to old young Master Foxwell, your father, never mind.
You're very wise, Nanny Thingamy.
No, I can't stop here gossiping with you. I've got to go and sit in the old nursery, staring out the window, all sad and lonely until I die.
No, Nanny, it's not going to be like that.
Why? Have you come back here to live and keep old Nanny company?
No, I've come back here to clear the house before the new owner moves in. And I'd appreciate it if you were out of here by this afternoon. From now on, this is Pomeroy Hall.
So, Pomeroy, you escaped. You have no doubt called to gloat over my imminent disgrace.
On the contrary, Prince Saudi, I want to do a deal.
But surely you are acting for the Allies.
Max Pomeroy is acting for Max Pomeroy. I've got something to sell that you might just want to buy.
Is it the BMX bicycle for £50?
What?
In this week's classified advertiser.
Don't waste my time, Saudi. That will have gone already. Everyone knows that the classified advertiser response rate is second to none.
So, what have have you got?
Half of that compromising photograph. The half that counts. Cravat's got the genitals, but without your faces, the Allies have got diddly squat to pin on you.
So, you betray your own kind, Mr. Pomeroy. You are like a sand spider that eats its own mate after taking its pleasure.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
Then you are foolish. Because if I may continue, the sand spider does not have long to enjoy its triumph. Because a man with a big flip-flop comes along and smashes it to pieces.
Listen, Saudi. We're talking you and a blonde divorcee and Major League Legover. How's that going to go down with the Bedouin chattering class? Think about it. The Allies are prepared to pay $85 billion. For $100 billion, the photo's yours. Hell, I'll even throw in a clip frame.
$100 billion? But that would make you the most powerful and the richest man in the world, ever.
Yep. And I'll be in Madame Tussauds alongside such figures as Indira Gandhi and Bjorn Borg. People will be queuing around the block right past the planetarium laser experience just to see a reasonably close likeness of me, Max Pomeroy.
You are crazy, Pomeroy.
Anyone who wants to own the world has to be a little bit crazy, Saudi.
Look, are you going to be all day or what?
Listen, Saudi, I got to go. Somebody else wants to use the phone.
I need time to think.
You've got 24 hours, starting now.
I'm giving Saudi 24 hours, starting now. If he doesn't turn the all back on, then Operation Kick-Ass will go into phase two.
Which is?
Operation Slaughterhouse. The exact nature of that operation is, of course, classified. Next.
I'm from Newsweek. I'm doing a piece on military strategy, and I gather you're an admirer of the great Carthaginian General Hannibal.
Yes, indeed. His defeat of the Roman army under Consul Aemilius Paulus at Cannae was one of the great victories of all time.
Has Hannibal had any kind of influence on your own tactical thinking, sir?
I'm afraid that information is also classified.
Sir!
Pull yourself together, Arabella. Try and forget the fact that you've got to assassinate Prince Saudi, the man you love, in a last-ditch attempt to stop the war.
I'm trying, Aunt Anthony. I've decided to make a new start.
That's the spirit.
Before all this, I was just another internationally successful fashion designer. But now I've seen war, and war is hell. Now I know there's more to life than my world-famous snazzy look.
Right.
Now there's my brilliant new military look.
What?
Here, slip this on.
Oh, it's a sort of combat cocktail frock.
Yeah, this year's colour is sandy beige with disruptive flashes. Don't forget the matching grenade earrings.
Oh, they're me.
These clothes are making a statement. They're saying, OK, let's have fun, let's party, but let's not forget the ongoing strategic global conflict.
Oh. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when.
What are you doing?
I'm rehearsing. For a big concert tonight to entertain the troops.
But our troops haven't invaded yet.
Okay, so they're not our troops. But it's a booking. It could be the beginning of something big.
You're performing for the enemy.
Listen, kitten. All audiences are the enemy, but I'll win them round. I'll adapt my material.
Kuwait, Kuwait, it's a hell of a town. The desert's our band, the desert sound. I'll have them eating out of my hand, Saudi included.
Saudi's going to be there?
Of course he is. You don't think he's going to pass up an opportunity to see Iolanthe Diamond live? It'll be something to tell his grandchildren.
Don't you see? It'll be the ideal opportunity for me to kill him and make amends for everything. I'll pose as your dresser, and then when he comes backstage to congratulate you, I'll shoot him.
Are you kidding? What do you know about guns?
I live in the country. I was brought up with guns. My father taught me how to shoot when I was young, so I know a little bit about them. Like this one. It's a Ukrainian assembled Kalashnikov K-7048 with spring-loaded automatic magazine clip, high-velocity action, and Israeli-specification infrared telescopic sighting.
Where the hell did you get that?
Saudi gave it to me. On Valentine's Day.
All right. So far, so good, but how on earth do we smuggle it into the concert?
I know. We disguise it. As a hat. It'll be part of my battle dress selection, which you'll be wearing. No one will ever suspect that the matching headgear is not just a fashion statement, but one of the deadliest handheld assault rifles in the world.
Gosh. I haven't been up here in the attic since Nanny Thingamy locked me in for the whole one winter for being scared of the dark. What's this? My academic dress from Cambridge. Regulation mortarboard, regulation gown, regulation teddy bear. Hello, old friend. What was it I used to call you? Was it Titus Pomponius Atticus? No, it was Teddy.
Is that you up there talking to yourself again, master?
Yes, what's his name? Don't mind me.
Well, could you keep the noise down a bit, sir? We got the Comdeck International Office Supplies Expo in the old ballroom.
What?
This year's buzz phrase is total quality management. And I mean total.
Gosh, what's his name? You really have built the old ancestral pile into quite a money spinner, haven't you?
Thank you, sir. I put it all down to my grandfather. He taught me everything I know about leisure conference and facilities.
Well, there'll be no more of that now. We've all got to be out by lunchtime, what's his name? Now, give us a hand with this trunk, will you? Yeah, careful, what's his name? It's my father's. It's all his papers from the war.
Still slithering at you.
Hang on. There appears to be a false bottom to this chest.
Inside, there's an old leather-bound volume.
This is the diary of Major Braceforth Cravat, seconded to Army Intelligence for secret covert operations. This is amazing. March 12th, 1941. Got up, didn't do much, went to bed.
Ah, not quite so amazing.
No, wait. March 13th. Prepared to parachute behind enemy lines to meet up with partisans in Volkslonia. Mission to assassinate SS Panzergruppenführer Heinrich Gluck. Drop at 1900 hours. 1900 hours. 1900 hours. 1900 hours. 1900 hours. 1900 hours. Synchronize watches.
Yes, Major Cravat, we are both wearing identical watches.
Look, Colonel Baird, this is a highly dangerous mission, largely because you're on it. Now, get on with your job.
But we are calling partisans. But we are calling partisans. But those that drop at the forest on assassination mission. Over.
Shouldn't we be using code?
No, that's exactly what the Germans will be expecting. This way, by the time they've worked out that there is no code, we'll be back in Blighty eating tear fortune.
Well, whose very stupid idea was that?
Mine, actually.
Too late now. We're nearly over the drop zone.
Look, Cravat, if I don't make it back, I'd like you to give this to my wife.
Of course. What is it?
It's my moustache. It's sentimental, I know, but I'd like my son to have it.
Oh, for God's sake, Devere, just jump!
Whoa! Right, that's your last training exercise, gentlemen. Oh. Top hole, Cravat.
Pretty hopeless, Devere.
How many times do we have to tell you you can't leave your wife your moustache?
I can't, sir.
No, you can't. You're going to need every moustache you've got on this mission. Understood?
Yes, sir. Any suggestions for suitable parting gifts in place of the moustache, sir?
Well, something like a love letter or a poem or a...
How about a piano?
No, Governor. Now, I suggest you two get some sleep. This time tomorrow, you'll be flying into Volkslonia for real. Good night, chaps. Particularly you, Cravat.
We're nearly over the drop zone.
Look, Cravat, if I don't make it back, I'd like you to give this to my wife.
Of course. What is it?
It's just something to remember me by. My parachute. Right. Let's jump.
Ah! Devere, you bally fool! Come back!
You mean the British are so stupid that they are not using code?
Jawohl, mein Panzergruppenführer Gluck. They will be here to try and assassinate you in 2 minutes.
And when they arrive, they will find that we have arranged a little reception party for them. But this party will have Lucas and Schmeiders to greet them, rather than hula hoops and cheating nibblets.
And they will hear the music of death.
Rather than the string quartet playing Baroque favorites.
Yes, indeed, mein Commandant. And instead of the expected white wine, they will be drinking...
I would remind you, Herr Leutnant, that officers below the rank of Oberstumpf and Colonel are not permitted to join in menacing analogies with their superiors.
Forgive me, Panzergruppenführer. I was forgetting myself.
But, since you mention it, the British parachutists will, on their arrival, be drinking not white wine... But fear. Yeah, that is the sort of reception party that they will.
Himmel! A daredevil British assassin without a parachute! Hey, Gluck! Hey, Gluck! Hey, Gluck! Thank God he's dead! The foremost military strategist on the Eastern Front forced into the sort of pate that you might find on a savory cracker at the reception party. Hey, Gluck was using as an analogy. Doppelhimmel! And not a British only, this time with a parachute! Davir! Davir! Great Scott! You barely damn fool, crazy, idiotic hero! I was going to have you court-martialed, Bertie. But now, I'm going to recommend you for a posthumous BC. Hope I can play this thing without crying.
You are forgetting one thing, Inspector. As a result of the untimely death of my superior officer, I am now taking the rank of acting Obergruppenführer, which allows me to use menacing analogies of my own. So, let me tell you, I will shoot you like a dog. The sort of dog that you have tired of shortly after Christmas. The sort of dog who initially amuses you, but by Boxing Day... No, I'm not in Herr Gluck's league. I shall just have to shoot you.
The partisans! Save Gretchen this way!
We can rest in this cave for a while. The Germans will never find us here.
Thank you. You saved my life.
Well,
I was meant to rendezvous with Pomerov, the leader of the partisans. You couldn't lead me to him, could you?
I am Pomerov. Maxina Pomerov.
Good God, you're a woman. And I think I'm falling in love with you.
Oh, Major, I am soldier first and woman second. In another time, another country, perhaps you and I could have been something to each other, but we mustn't. This is war. 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 War.
War! War! Don't shout, Reed, and now, Master Cravat. It's just getting to the raunchy bit.
Yes, all right, what's his name? But the rest of the pages in this diary are torn out. So who on earth was this mysterious woman? And what did she mean to my father? And what curious part does she play in this strange unfolding story?
I don't know, Master Foxwell. If you want to know more about your father, you have to ask Nanny Thingamy.
Nanny!
Oh, Deep Purple were never the same since Richie Blackmore left.
Nanny, you've got to tell me about my father.
Master Foxwell, aren't we forgetting something?
What?
That magic little word that you just add to a sentence and Nanny will do what you like.
You've got to tell me about my father now!
Right, all right. When your father came back from Volslonia, he were a changed man. Something to do with some girl he'd met on a mission. Maxina Pomerov, was it?
The girl in the diary.
Your father went back to Volslonia after the war to try and find her. But apparently, she'd fled to America and had died in poverty in the Jewish-Italian ghettos of Ireland, leaving her son.
A son?
Yes.
You mean I have a brother?
Called Max, I think.
Oh, my God. There can only be one person in the whole world. The man I've hated all these years. The man I've vowed to destroy. The man who...
Who's landing on the loft in a helicopter?
Max! Cravat! I came to gloat over my ultimate victory! Max! There's something you should know! Save your breath, Cravat! You're finished! You're out of here! Max! You don't understand! We are brothers! Oh, you're pathetic, Cravat! For a minute there, I thought I heard you say we were brothers! Oh, God, I despise you! We are brothers! It's all in my father's diary! Look! Damn! But it was in my father's diary. Now it's heading towards Ipswich. Sorry, I'll turn the helicopter off. Believe me, our deadly rivalry has been a terrible mistake.
In that case...
God, I love you. And I love you, too.
I'm sorry about the 30-year vendetta and the affair with your wife.
I'm sorry about my repeated attempts to destroy your career and have you executed.
Hey, no problem. We're family.
We're flesh and blood.
Tied together by destiny.
Reunited by fate. Who's the old bag? Max, it's time for you to meet the nanny you never had.
So it turns out that you two are brothers.
Yes, Prime Minister. So we've put together the two halves of the photograph of Saudi and Lady Arabella and told him to call off the war.
Saudi had no option but to agree. He's making a formal announcement tomorrow. The oil's going to flow again to the west, and a human tragedy on a massive scale has been averted at the 11th hour. And all thanks to a chance discovery of a 50-year-old diary in an attic.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, indeed, gentlemen. Almost as amazing as this.
A trouser press?
Just £35 through the pages of classified advertising.
Wow, that is amazing.
It certainly makes our story of bizarre coincidences and intercontinental twists of fate look pretty pedestrian.
You can't beat classified advertiser for surprises. De Vere, come in. We were just celebrating the end of the Middle East crisis.
Ah, now that's where there's a slight hitch. I just received an urgent top-level intelligence report from Araby.
Well, out with it. We're all cleared for security here. Me, Cravat, his brother Pomeroy. The Foreign Secretary?
I say, Foreign Secretary. That's a splendid bonnet. No, please, don't stop reading that slim volume of poetry on my account.
Get on with it, De Vere. What does the report say?
Someone at the hotel overheard Lady Arabella and Diolanthe Diamond planning to bump off Saudi at a concert tonight.
But that will ruin everything. It will destabilize the region, start the war again, destroy international trade, and...
Huh?
Make me look pretty bad just before the Euro by-election in Strasbourg.
Don't worry, Prime Minister. I'll get us out of this mess. I'm going back into Araby. Tonight.
Not on your own, you're not. We're in this together, big bro. God, I love this guy.
And I'm pretty fond of this chap myself.
But wait. Flying into Araby whilst we're still on a war footing could be very dangerous. Someone could get killed.
We'd better take De Vere.
Thank you, thank you. My name is Ben Ahmed. Good night.
The warm-up's finished, Diolanthe. He certainly is. He was terrible. They hated him, and they'll hate me. Oh, I look ridiculous with this gun on my head.
No, you look great. Now, let me give you a hand with a lamb for cheese. That's it, Diolanthe.
Well, shut up and get me another drink.
Whiskey soda?
Of course not. I've got to go on stage in front of 10,000 people. Make it a whiskey.
Diolanthe.
Now, let's see if you can polish off Prince Saudi as quickly as I can polish off this bottle.
Synchronized watches. 1900 hours.
Damn. I make it 7 o'clock.
De Vere, Max, here's the plan. It's very simple. The three of us parachute into the concert at the Mark Thatcher Stadium, where we stop Arabella from killing Saudi.
There's another option. We parachute in, get caught in the searchlights, get shot to ribbons by anti-aircraft fire, and die painfully.
So, Max, do we go with my plan or De Vere's?
I'm with you, Foxwell.
Okay, 2-1. But I just thought it was worth mentioning.
We're nearly over the drop zone.
Look, chap, I'm sorry, but I've got a very strange sense of deja vu about all this. And I'm not sure why I want to do this, but, well, if I don't make it back, I'd like you to give my moustache to my wife.
I can't.
Why not?
Because you don't have a moustache.
Or a wife.
Good. Right. That sorted that out. Let's jump!
Just like the old days, Arabella. I'm higher than kind on my own adrenaline. I want to go to a night spot. I want to dance till dawn. I want to take drugs in the Groucho Club with minor TV personalities. I want a curry afterwards. I want it all, and I want it now.
Diolanthe, I don't think I can do it.
Okay, forget the curry. You can have an omelette.
No, I can't kill him.
I can't go through with this. Look, I've just gone out there and sung a medley of Andrew Lloyd Webber hits. Surely you can do something as simple as pull a trigger and blow away a heavily protected Middle Eastern dictator.
I don't know.
Well, make up your mind fast, kiddo, because he's heading backstage now.
Miss Diamond, now, you are sensational. How can I begin to describe your talent? You are a jewel in the crown. No, no, I go further. You are a bridesmaid revisited. A fortunes of war.
Your Highness flatters me with his generous comparisons to quality television classics.
Nonsense. I go further, Miss Diamond. You are a veritable Middlemarch. Though with more singing, obviously.
Really, Prince Howdy?
And are you not going to introduce me to your dresser, the lady in the veil, with the charming eyes, who seems disturbingly familiar?
Arabella! I told you we must never meet again.
Just one last time, my passionate potentate of the palm.
Look out! She's got a hat! Help!
No, Arabella!
Everybody hold it right there!
Foxwell!
Max!
Sophia! And everybody drop your weapons!
Not you, Dovier. Sorry.
But Foxwell, we thought you were dead. How? Why?
Save your questions for later. Suffice to say that it's all over, and the world can breathe again. Isn't that right, Prince Saudi?
Yes, indeed, gentlemen. And it seems you have saved my life into the bargain. Perhaps the moral of the story is that we have discovered that not only are Cravat and Pomeroy brothers, but we are all brothers.
What, even Iolanthe and Arabella?
Not literally, Mr. Revere, no. I mean that the time for fighting is over. Now, finally, we can all look forward to a lasting peace.
Oh, my God, it's General Hank the Tank Buttsucker!
Yes, on a classic lone kamikaze elephant mission.
The war's not over till I see it is. No one tells General Buttsucker it's time for Operation Go Home Peacefully to your wives and children.
No way.
Leave this to me, Mr. Cravat. I, too, am a warrior. Arabella, your hat, please.
Be glad, Saudi.
Eat my hat, Buttsucker!
Well, okay, Max. Let's take a break whilst our wives bring out some cool strawberries and lemonade onto the lawn of Cravat Hall. Arante, Arabella, we're here under the willow tree.
It all worked out kind of swell, eh, buddy, that business in Araby?
Yes, it did, Ron. I became Prime Minister by popular demand on my return, and now it looks as though you're going to be the next President of the United States of America.
Hey, I'm only 80 points ahead in the polls. Nothing's certain, eh, Iolanthe?
Well, I'm certainly happy being remarried to Foxwell, and at last I've returned to the English stage, and I'm doing some really good work. Quite a lot of radio drama, too. How about you, Arabella?
I've just been given the OBE for services to the fashion industry, and the Queen wore my Kalashnikov hat on her tour of Canada.
Oh, wow. Whatever happened to De Vere?
No, haven't you heard? He's been put in charge of the British nuclear industry.
Well, it's all pretty idyllic. Here we are, one happy family just sitting in the sunshine as our sons play together in the meadow.
Yes, my boy, young Foxwell.
And my boy, young Max.
You know, I'm sure they're going to grow up the best of friends.
Yeah. One thing's sure. They're not going to fall out and become bitter enemies and deadly rivals for the rest of their lives. Come on, boys. Stop that.
Was written by Ian Hislop and Nick Newman and starred Martin Jarvis as Foxwell Cravat, Mac McDonald as Max Pomeroy, Caroline Quentin as Iolanthe Diamond, Felicity Montague as Lady Arabella Derbyshire, Jonathan Coy as Charles Ambrose Fortescue DeVere, and also featured Julian Dutton, Toby Longworth, and Steve Steen. The Foreign Secretary's piano was tuned by Colin Guthrie. The producer was Colin Swatch.